This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome. This is your afternoon delight, otherwise known as PFW in progress. I'm Fred Kirsch, and Tom Casale will be here any moment. We had this big respect in the workplace meeting today, so all the employees had to go. My meeting was earlier. Tom's was from 11 to 12, so he'll come back, and it'll be a whole new Tom. He'll be more respectful of the emailers and our listeners, and actually, I doubt it. Actually, here's Paul. Paul's here. I didn't know you were doing the show today, Paul.
Yeah, I decided to fill in.
Oh, why? Where's Tom?
Well, Tom was going to fill in for Andy, but I asked Tom if he could fill in tomorrow.
Well, me. Where's Andy?
Andy's doing Ask PFW. What's the matter? The mic is on, Jason. Little red button right here, it's on.
I can hear you.
Well, I'm standing next to you.
I can hear you through the headphones. Anyway, so Paul's here. That's great. Is Tom coming in later? Or?
I don't know. He might.
He might?
He was going to fill in for Andy because Andy's doing Ask PFW.
Okay.
And I am leaving early tomorrow, so I asked Tom if I could fill in for Andy today so Andy could fill in for me tomorrow.
Did Andy send New England Cable News his Ask PFW question?
I have no idea.
I sent him an email. They needed it by 10. Do you know that it?
I have. Okay. Haven't a clue.
Because we have to go and film our show after this.
You know, I was thinking afterwards on that thing when you called me yesterday to get my prediction. You know, Last week I said 28-9.
Really?
It was 28-6. Not too bad.
I said 24-3, so I had to spread one.
Not too bad for you either.
Yeah. Okay, so, but the question is, you and Andy have the exact same score for the Vikings game. 24-17?
24-16, I think.
16, something like that. I'm thinking it's going to be a high-scoring game
really?
For some reason, yeah.
I mean, I know the defense is playing very well. I don't see the –
Pat's
see,
defense?
Yeah.
You know, but that's it just seems like we get worried about the defense earlier, and then they start playing well. Now we're kind of waiting for the offense to start. Watch, the defense will take a step back, and the offense will explode this week.
Well, I thought the offense actually showed some signs.
Oh, it did.
And that's, you know, obviously you read everything. That's what I wrote about after the game. And I'm not necessarily saying it's all the way back or the passing game is nothing to worry about anymore. I didn't think they ran the ball particularly well. I think there were probably two reasons for that. Number one, I think the game plan was to come out throwing a little bit more than they had in the past. And number two, I think Buffalo, they played a lot with eight men in the box. They specifically geared themselves to make sure they didn't get run all over again.
Yep.
And every first down I watched in the first half, Buffalo had at least eight in the box, sometimes nine.
Yeah. And when that happens, you have to be able to pass.
Right.
And the Patriots showed some ability to take advantage of it when teams, you know, bring guys up in the box.
Right. So. The one concern that I would bring out of the offensive performance was the pressure.
Yeah, offensive line.
feel like I'm popping a lot of peas.
Well, there was one
pressure, a lot of pressure on Brady, and definitely from the outside.
Well, especially. There was one play where Watson admitted he just missed a block.
Yeah.
And I think that was the play where they were trying some fake reverse. I don't know what
the play was. I think
it
was going to be a fake reverse and probably a shot downfield is what I'm guessing. I'd like to talk to Bill about it maybe away from the microphone just to see.
And Brady turned, and the guy was just in his face.
But he actually got it from both sides anyway because the guy got crushed in that.
Yeah, and then there was another Schobel sack that even if Schobel didn't get him, there was a guy coming up the middle. So there were some protection breakdowns in that game.
I thought Tom did a reasonably good job of getting himself out of some situations as well. I don't know what it is about Buffalo's pass rush, but that's 7 out of 9 sacks have been against Buffalo.
Huh. And it's just certain guys match up well against the Patriots there.
Schobel clearly is one of those.
Yeah. So, it's interesting in all the highlight shows and on NFL.com, and the Patriots game was really handled like a ho-hum game, you know,
it was a ho-hum game,
but, you know, really that nobody was at all surprised or impressed by the Patriots' victory.
I would pretty much characterize it just like that. I think that's a good, I was neither surprised nor overly impressed.
Yeah, I would say
that's what I expected. I expected the second time around, in this series against Buffalo, the second game has generally been easier than the first. And I expected that going in, and it was kind of a workmanlike business.
Is that fair on our part to not be impressed by that win?
I think it's fair because I think it says how much you actually think of the Patriots. Speaking from a personal perspective, I wouldn't think just anybody would just go in and summarily dismiss any other team.
Right.
I think the Patriots are good.
Then we should be impressed.
But I mean, I've been impressed for going on 6 seasons.
Okay.
Now, basically.
Coming up, we got Minnesota, and I think, just not just because it's a road game, but I think Minnesota's playing pretty well. They dispatched of Seattle pretty handily, albeit, Hasselbeck got hurt, and I think the third quarter, when did he get hurt?
I don't know exactly when he got hurt, but did you
Sean Alexander isn't playing.
Did you see that play?
Yeah. I don't think it should be a finable offense.
I thought it was pretty cheap, though.
Okay, so
did I miss an angle that the guy got hit into him or something?
No, he did get hit.
Because it looked like he just rolled into him, and it was very late.
He got hit, and he wasn't even looking at the quarterback when he hit him. I don't even think he was aware the quarterback was there. That's my interpretation.
I didn't see a lot of highlights.
I've just seen that one angle from the pass rusher's side with Hasselbeck on the far side of the play. I haven't seen any other angle. It looked to me like the guy wasn't even facing Hasselbeck. He got pushed in, kind of hit him on all fours. You know, he was like on his hands and knees when he hit him and wasn't even looking at Hasselbeck when it happened. So I looked at it just, hey, it was just an unfortunate thing. I've heard other people, though, say that he took an extra move.
I thought he rolled.
Yeah.
It looked to me like he rolled, but I didn't see I would like to have seen the backside replay so you can see what that contact with the offensive lineman caused.
Yeah.
That might have started the momentum and given him the impetus to get rolling toward Hasselbeck. But I'll tell you what the eye opener for me, Fred, is I look at all the hits that Brady took on Sunday. And then you see, Roethlisberger, one shot. Manning took a
hellacious
shot.
Manning almost had his back broken. I want to talk about that. But Roethlisberger, that was a helmet-on-helmet hit.
No question. That was a cheap hit.
It was.
That didn't draw a flag either.
No, and it should have.
They're so inconsistent with those, that's why I get mad when they do call them.
Yeah.
Because, Justin Smith 2 weeks ago for the Bengals had a sack, an actual sack, when the quarterback had the ball in his hands and put him down a little bit too rough for referee Mike Carey's liking, and he flags him for it, cost Cincinnati a football game. Now, you go on to the end of the season, that one game, that could cost Cincinnati a lot. Could cost them a division title, could cost them a wild card possibly, a playoff berth.
Yeah.
It could cost them home field if they end up riding the ship. And it could cost them something along the line.
Yeah.
All because of some guy's interpretation. This, it's out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really out of control. I thought the same thing you did on the Roethlisberger hit. That was a clear helmet to helmet.
He launched himself at the quarterback
with his helmet.
Yeah.
And there's no call.
I really worry about Roethlisberger. I know that,
He was playing really well the last two games.
He was playing,
too.
But I worry that there's something with that motorcycle accident that maybe wasn't detected that is going to pop up.
Could be.
Some internal you got a hit like that, and, he was knocked out for a few seconds.
And don't you think you know, and I don't know exactly what happened to him in this particular hit, but don't you think it's probably more likely that this hit is going to result in a concussion
because of the
motorcycle accident?
Right, and other injuries because
maybe this would have given him a concussion anyway, but I got to think it's more likely.
I just think this guy, there's a dark cloud over his head this season, and I really worry about him.
I mean, he couldn't have played any worse, really, the first several games that he played.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, he looks like the Roethlisberger of old, you know, throwing, making big plays downfield, and now he takes another step back. They probably won't need him next week. Who are they playing? They play somebody relatively.
They will
easy.
Play somebody.
They play one. No, they play one of the dregs. They play like a. Jeez, I can't remember who they play, but I know they play a bad team. Oakland, maybe.
All right. Some other NFL news. Sean Merriman.
Ooh.
Supposedly with some type of supplement, suspended for 4 games. He's appealing, so he can still play until after that appeal. If I'm the Seahawks, though, I'm kind of hoping he just serves the 4, over with, because I don't want that appeal to come toward the playoffs. You know? So,
San Diego.
Yeah.
Not the Seahawks.
I mean the Chargers.
Right. I agree with you, Fred. I mean, it's better to get the 4. He's not going to win the appeal. Okay? Let's put that out of, that's not, in my opinion, not in the realm of possibility. So get the 4 games out of the way.
Right. Now.
Now, I don't know what their schedule looks like. I find it hard to believe they have 4-game stretches that are that different. You know what I mean? Like, if he would have served them now, 1, 2, 3, 4, those are 4 easy games as opposed
right.
to, there's no way it's going to be that much of a difference. It's probably likely there's 2 reasonably tough games in any 4-game stretch that he could possibly serve.
Yeah. So, see what happens there. But, you know, when a guy of his stature gets caught like that, and, you know, whatever it is, but, you know, has a positive result in a test, you know, of course, you know, forget about what happens after the appeal. That has to send a ripple effect, not just, you know, through the league with other players, but, you know, within his team. If he's doing something, you know other guys are doing,
well,
because he's like one of their best defensive players.
Right. You know,
so you know other guys are doing it. So this should put guys on alert that, you know, we better watch out here.
That team in general is run afoul of them.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I know that Cincinnati gets a lot of attention with that, but you know, you get guys getting shot. You
Steve
get guys,
Foley guy.
Guys getting arrested for drugs.
Yeah.
And now this Merriman situation. This is all in the last, what, month and a half?
Yeah. I think they have, this could be a team that has a lot of potential this year, but may never live to see it because of all this off-field stuff. So.
It's a funny game on Sunday, too. They had all those turnovers. I think they turned the ball over 3 times in the first half. That's how they fell behind. And then the offense got going and made a run, and then ultimately they tied it, and the defense couldn't stop them when they needed to. Although it was a 50-something yard field goal.
Yeah,
it
was.
Hit to win the game.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the Chargers. I had them pegged as the class of the AFC West after seeing them a few weeks in a row. Now you have to give the edge to Denver, even though the amount of points Denver's scoring is paltry.
Yeah, another.
They're just not giving up anything.
Yeah, another kind of pedestrian game for Plummer too.
Yeah.
It was like 20-41 with 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions.
I still think that's going to catch up to them.
I totally agree. Yeah. You can't play the way Mike Shanahan's trying to play and win it all. You can win games because you're better than some other teams, but you can't just not try to score and rely on your defense every game and win all the big ones.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
So. It's interesting. It's the NFL's taking it's very interesting, like it is every year. You just really don't know after week 6 or 7 what the heck is going to happen with these teams. The Jets 4-3, still hanging around. And I have to say, Paul, I actually feel bad for Bill Parcells. I do. I think he doesn't deserve the situation he's in right now.
Well,
I blame it all on Jerry Jones.
A lot of this, I think, is a result of the T.O. situation.
There are two or three guys.
I assume that's what you're talking about.
Well, I think that. I think, you know, Jones coming on the sideline and looking over his shoulder, and I'm sure Jones is telling him to put in Romo. You know, even though
he knew that, though.
I know.
You know, and I like Parcells, but he knew that when he signed up.
So does Bledsoe. Does a starting quarterback need to have that extra pressure on top of everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
look, I'm not here defending Bledsoe.
And I'm not either, and I know that people will be surprised that I'm not rushing to his defense. But I'll tell you this. if you're going to do what you did last night, Parcells, I think he gave his team no chance to win the football game. I think he either should have started Romo in the game, prepared that way, or waited the whole game and then started Romo next week. If he was one mistake away from losing his job,
right.
Ultimately, let's face it.
You can't blame the sacks on him,
especially the one for the safety. No. I mean, come on,
the guy came in, nobody touched
him. And again, I'm not defending Bledsoe because you can't make a defense of the mistakes that he's been making
right.
all year. I mean, he's played so up and down all year. It's been ridiculous. The interception at the goal line at the end of the half was laughable. A high school quarterback doesn't make that play. But if you thought he was one mistake away, Fred, you got to just start Romo.
Yeah.
You're at the end of your line with Bledsoe, if that's how you felt.
Right.
He gave his team, in my opinion, no chance to win last night. It was a 12-7 game. The Cowboys' offense finally started to move the ball late in the second. They had a great drive for the touchdown. They got the turnover and got right down to the 1 yard, the 4 yard line. And when Bledsoe threw the interception, it was 12-7. Yeah. Come out in the second half and play.
Right.
I think he gave his team no chance to win, and I don't blame Romo. Romo came in and looked like a high school kid.
Right.
First play he had.
I know. I just wonder, though, if a lot of it is Jerry Jones in Parcells' ear saying you got to make a change. You know, we'll let him make one mistake, and then you got to make a change. Because I don't think it's any secret that Jones is always like Romo. You know?
Certainly what it appears. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not even trying to make this out to be a Bledsoe-Romo thing. I just think that the way the whole situation is developed, I think the T.O. cloud continues to hang over the team. That's all Jerry Jones' fault. Parcells didn't want him.
No.
Drew Bledsoe didn't want him. I can tell you that.
And he was still, on the sideline, flapping his gums. And then there was one point that I almost threw something at the TV. After T.O. had dropped that ball on fourth down, he's wide open.
And
he dropped the ball.
He's smiling coming off
the field. He comes off the field, and they made a big thing, or at least... the play-by-play guy, what's his name, Tirico, made a big thing about, oh, look at him. He's willing to stand right by Bill Parcells and show him that, hey, I know what I did. That's not what he was doing. He was behind Parcells laughing it up, and you could see Parcells look up to the heavens saying, I'm ready to belt this guy.
Right.
Because he could hear what was going on behind him. He knew the guy just screwed up, and yet he's behind there making jokes and laughing it up.
Right.
And he... Basically, what Owens was doing was taunting Parcells.
I agree with you with the mentality that Parcells has, because Parcells knows Bledsoe as well as anybody.
Okay? I think he was saddened by what happened last night.
Yeah, I think Parcells knows Bledsoe probably as well as anybody does, right?
Yeah.
He's had as much success with Bledsoe as anybody has. He probably thinks he's a pretty good quarterback. Is he flawed? Yes. Does Parcells know he's flawed? Yes, no doubt. But I have to think that Parcells thinks that T.O. is negatively affecting Bledsoe.
Oh.
Because you know that every single time he gets in that huddle, T.O. is over there in Drew's face, get me this, get me that, me this. Who knows? Maybe that was one of the reasons why I'm on the goal line again.
Right.
Maybe that's why he tried to force it to Glenn.
Yep.
I just don't want to throw it to him again.
Yep. No, I don't want to turn this into a Dallas.
I don't want to come off as the big apologist. I know that everybody that listens to us knows how I feel about Bledsoe. I think he's played poorly. I think we can drop that.
But if obviously we're here to talk about the Patriots, but I think it's a pretty compelling story what's going on with the Cowboys. And of course, there's two figures there, at least two. Glenn, you could put third, who have a history of the Patriots. So I think if people want to talk about it. I think, we're willing to talk about it because it just happened last night. It's compelling. But, as far as the Patriots go, today's their day off. Tomorrow they'll get back into the swing of things. Bill Belichick will have his press conference around 10:30. We'll have that live on Patriots.com, and then we'll have guys will go into the locker room. Bledsoe will have his press conference. We'll have audio.
I love that crap.
Transcripts of.
You do know you just said Bledsoe will have his press conference.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I mean,
Brady.
Then we'll have audio transcripts.
Ed Coates will be on.
Of, Minnesota. I would imagine Brad Childress will be calling in, and I don't know who the other player is that will be calling in.
I don't know.
Probably
Brad Johnson, maybe?
Maybe the quarterback.
I don't know,
Brad
Chester
Johnson.
Taylor.
Yeah. So, if you want to talk about. What the Patriots need to do to beat this team.
Might be Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah. Minnesota isn't exactly putting up the points. Their offense really hasn't been playing that well, but playing just enough. Brad Johnson's a very efficient quarterback. What is he, like 38, 39 years
old?
Yeah,
he's up there.
He's a cagey guy. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's very accurate. He's patient. They've been protecting him pretty well. The running game's been okay, but their defense has been playing well lately, and I think that's why they're winning games. The Metrodome's a tough place to play. It's very loud. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a tough game for the Patriots.
I do too, Fred, because a couple things. One, I don't think that Belichick necessarily does great when he faces a team that he's not overly familiar with.
Yep.
You know, in terms of game planning. Now, I think they're going to win the share of the game. You know, that doesn't mean I'm going to be worried about Detroit and Green Bay. You know what I mean? I mean, when there's that much of a difference in talent. But, you know, all things equal, and I think that Minnesota is a reasonably talented team. I don't think they're as good as the Patriots, but they're reasonably talented. I think that the edge that Belichick generally gets in, you know, just knowing the opponent so well is a little bit lessened when he's facing teams like that.
That's right. So I kind of, believe it or not, I kind of worry about all those out-of-conference games, you know?
Yeah, I would worry about Chicago and Minnesota. I just don't think Detroit and Green Bay are good enough to scare you,
okay.
Especially Detroit coming here. Maybe if you get in Lambeau Field
and
you know, something funny happens with the weather or something and Favre, you know, lights it up, I suppose you could get in trouble. But that team, that's a bad football team.
Just quickly, what do you think about the Ken Rogers thing with the pine tar in his hand?
Should
La Russa have pursued that?
You know, I look at it two ways. First of all, I think that he clearly had pine tar in his hand, and they were doing something. I'm not naive. I don't really like that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't like winning on technicalities.
Right.
I'm not a big, you know, hey, we were losing by 30, but the other team had a forfeit, so we won. This isn't CYO. I'm not into that. You know.
Yeah.
But at what point
do you tell people they have to follow the rules?
No, I understand that, and I'm not condoning not following the rules, but it was the first inning when they made him wash the stuff off his hand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like it cost him the game.
That's true.
But I'm in the minority.
Scuffing balls.
Well, now if he was doing that, that's a different thing. That's out now cheating. In my opinion, that's much more egregious offense than pine tar. Because pine tar doesn't necessarily do anything to the ball itself.
Just helps you grip.
It helps the grip.
Yeah.
And it's, believe me, having played college baseball, when you're playing miserable weather pretty much every game, it's very, very difficult to hold the baseball properly when it's that cold.
Yeah. And it was cold.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some emails. webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We'll do that right after this.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs. Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go. when you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Tabula's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Rich Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket, Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This is Clinton.
All right, back here. PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo until noon. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. And before
just as a correction, Fred, the show starts at noon. We go until 2.
Oh, what did
Very
I say?
Very excited to be a Dallas
said
Cowboy.
Until noon.
You know, I'm all messed up from the respect meeting this morning because I know half of it applies to me.
Well, I was you know, wondering as I was walking down there why you weren't included in our group, and then I realized that, you know, all the big shots went early.
Well, anything happen in your group? Because in our group, the cheerleading calendar came up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, people at the end of the presentation, people ask questions at yours?
Yeah.
Not a single question.
Really? Because, you know, people that put the calendar up in their cubicle or whatever. And I guess some people are offended by that. I didn't know.
I can understand.
So I said, I guess we're doing a good job with the calendar.
It's just sensitivity.
Like I said, half of it had to do with me.
Now, wait a minute. Obviously, we're not talking about who did and said what, but so people were saying that the calendars are offensive?
Well, in the workplace.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I can understand that.
I can too. Absolutely. You know, we create it for the marketplace.
That's another thing about the Cowboys game.
Yeah.
You know, once again, that nuclear power defense just allowed the team to waltz down the field for a touchdown to open the game, and immediately it's 7-0.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And I thought Manning looked okay, but not great. You know, he looked okay.
You know what he is?
I mean, he threw that first touchdown, he just threw it up.
You know what he is? He's Bledsoe.
Yeah.
He makes mistakes. Well, he makes some good throws.
Yeah, he makes.
But he's gonna give you two or three opportunities every game to make mistakes.
He's just more mobile, though.
Well, he's young.
Yeah. All right. And as soon as Arrington went down, I knew it was an Achilles. I knew it because it was just one of those things. It just popped on him. All right, let's see. Scott
is a doctor.
Scott, yes. Scott is our first emailer at webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. And he writes in, he's talking about steroids. We were talking about Sean Merriman a little earlier. As we know, he's been suspended pending appeal for a banned substance and some kind of supplement, four-game suspension. He says the following is a quote from Merriman's lawyer in an AP article posted on the Sports Illustrated website, quote, supplements are not regulated, and it is a dirty fact of this industry that many of them are tainted with prohibited substances, and men like Sean get hooked up and get penalized for taking something that they didn't know was present in the supplement. That's why this is such an evil process, the attorney said. He has been playing unwittingly Russian roulette with his career because he's been taking the same supplements, and it has been subjected to testing and hasn't yielded a positive test, so he thought the supplements that he was taking were safe. I have a comment on this, but I'll finish up with what Scott says. He says, so, this is now Scott talking, if the unregulated nature of the supplement industry is so well known, why would a player take the risk? Is the player absolved of wrongdoing if they prove the supplement is tainted? Personally, I don't think this should be an excuse, and I agree with Scott. I mean, you have to look at yourself as a corporation. And if you don't know what's in it, don't take it. Find out what's in it, find out if it's legal, and then take it.
Yeah, is the lawyer trying to say that what is actually on the ingredients of these substances isn't necessarily what's in it? Because I'm not buying that.
That's correct.
I'm not buying that.
That's correct. That's what he's saying.
This whole tainted thing, I'm not buying that. I'm saying that there's something in the supplement that you didn't realize was
I thought that anything you ingest, the FDC or Food and Drug, FDA, I mean, has to regulate it, and you have to put all the ingredients. Now, maybe that's not true with, like, trade secrets. You know, like Coca-Cola, for example, doesn't have to put all their ingredients on the label because that's a trade secret. I think they have to put certain things on there, but how it's formulated and, you know, if there's a secret sauce, you don't have to say what the secret sauce is made up of. So maybe that's...
What if that secret sauce is on the banned substance list?
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe that... Maybe that's why when you buy certain supplements at GNC or wherever, there could be things in it that you don't know about.
Right.
But find out. You know, maybe if I was the NFL to help the players, I'd set up a place where you can send stuff. They'll test it for you and tell you whether or not you can take it. Help out the players.
Yeah.
Or if you're the Players Association, set it up. You know?
That would make sense.
But, you know, who is she? What is she doing?
She's standing right there.
Oh, okay. Well, give us a second. Give us a second. Gary hands Kristen Turner, one of our cheerleaders, is in the movie that they're filming right now with Rock.
Right. The Rock, not just Rock.
It's not Rock?
It's not Rock Cartwright. It's The Rock.
It's The Rock.
That Rock guy.
So is The his first name and Rock is his last name?
Or if it's Bill, it's That Rock guy.
That Rock guy.
Yeah.
Actually,
that was about Bon Jovi. That Rock guy.
Oh, okay.
The Rock guy.
So The Rock.
The Rock, yes.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. And they're filming the movie right here as we speak, and I guess it's Super Bowl day in the movie. I don't want to give away the ending. but they're doing it right. They painted the whole field. It looks like, what is it, the New England Blitz or the Boston Blitz? What's the name of the team?
The Boston Rebels.
The Boston Rebels. Okay. Why did I say Blitz?
They're playing in New York.
You said everything wrong today.
Yeah, I'm really off. Not that I'm on any other day.
It's the sensitivity training.
Yeah, it really screwed me up, you know. I have all these other things I have to think about now.
You do join Dick for a little while.
But the whole field
is... I had to get rid of a lot of those.
The whole field is painted. They got the Super Bowl logos for this, you know, league that they're playing in. And it's pretty cool. They got fans here and, you know, it just looks like a regular game with camera people on the sideline and referees. And
yeah, my cousin was one of the referees.
Really?
Playing. I told you, on Saturday before we left. He went down and talked to him.
Wow, how did he get that gig?
Yeah, he does some stuff.
He does some stuff?
He's in the guild.
All right. Well, is Kristen ready to go? Let's bring Kristen in. Kristen, where are you?
Come on down. Ba-da-ba. A new car. Da-da-da. There they are.
There she is. Okay. Take a seat. Grab a headphone. And make sure it's switched on. Kristen is, of course, a real cheerleader. And she's playing a cheerleader in the movie The Game Plan.
So that's quite a stretch.
Jackpot.
So what happened, Kristen? They came to us and said, can any of the cheerleaders be in the movie?
Yeah, well, I guess they went to our coach, Tracy, and they said that they had a need for cheerleaders and asked who out of all of us was available. So a bunch of us volunteered and said that we were available, and they picked 14 of
us. I hope they're paying you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Now, what have you had to do so far in the movie? What is it? Is it basically just be a cheerleader on the sideline?
Yeah, pretty
much.
Don't
get romantically involved with The Rock, do you?
No.
Because that would be cool.
Good though, Fred. The Rock. You used it well.
That Rock
right.
guy.
No, we're apparently good friends with him, but no.
Oh,
no,
so on this team, the cheerleaders are allowed to fraternize with the players, I guess.
Apparently he knows us all by name.
Oh, so this is like the XFL, I guess.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen or met any really famous people?
Yeah, Morris Chestnut is playing one of the football players in the movie. We met him. Brian White.
Yeah, he used to be a Patriot. Well, he was at a training camp with
yep.
the Patriots, yeah.
From Harvard?
Also.
Harvard? No, his father's JoJo White.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's also in the movie. And the little girl, Madison Pettis, I think is her name, she's also, we met her today.
Okay. Is she a famous child actor that we should know about, or?
I'm not really sure how many movies she's done.
She probably comes out of the Disney stable.
Yeah, I think so.
This is a Disney movie.
Yes.
How many hours, like, what's been your, like, you know, regiment to do this thing? Is there a lot of standing around? Tell us behind the scenes what's involved in doing this.
Well, you take a lot of the shoots over and over again. A lot of the same scenes get shot.
Really?
Right after the other.
Yeah.
Over and over again. So there's a bunch of times when you're standing around. It's usually like a 12-hour day.
Really?
Yeah.
So what time did you get here this morning?
5 a.m.
5 a.m.
And how many
casting calls? Is that what they call it?
Basically.
Yeah?
Yeah, we get here at 5. Some people get here at 4:30 and then we shoot until about 6.
Till about 6. So how do they do it so that, you know, if you start at 5, obviously the sun's in a different place than it is at 6.
I'm assuming it's dark at 5.
Yeah, but how do they keep it so it looks like it's still the same game?
Well, I think that's the graphics department. When they end up cutting the film, yeah, they'll put that all in.
Okay.
Because right now it's not very sunny outside.
Yeah.
So
how's the field look? Because, you know, as you know, you're down in the field for every game. It's a mess. But I was looking out the window. It looks pretty green. What is it, all paint now?
I think it's paint and sod, and they painted this huge logo in the middle of the field.
Yeah, but they haven't put down the new grass yet. They're going to put the sod down.
They're waiting until after the movie's done.
Yeah. So now while the game's going on, you're a cheerleader on the sideline, mm-hmm. and you're doing your cheers. Did you have to learn New England, or what is it, Boston
Rebels? Boston Rebels.
Boston Rebels cheers?
Not really. We kind of took some of our regular cheers and just changed the words and added
okay.
the Boston Rebels.
So they let you kind of do your own thing out there. Did they give you a new uniform?
Yes.
Okay. How does the uniform compare? Wow, there's a lot more material than on ours. Yeah. That looks more like a high school uniform.
It's like a high school or a collegiate.
Well, it's a Disney
uniform.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
So, I mean, it's maroon. The color.
I like it, though.
I actually like the Boston Rebel uniforms.
No. Oh, you don't?
At least not that I know of. They haven't
done it. Would like one of those.
Just walk away with it. Don't tell them. No, that's a nice uniform. It's good to pin up.
It's just it's very, like, collegiate.
It's cool. It's something to remember, you know, that you did the movie by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could get the DVD.
So how many of these 12-hour days have you had to put in?
So far, I have done, this is my fourth day.
Okay.
Fourth day?
Yeah. Wow. And is this the last day of shooting, or do they have more?
No, we have one more day tomorrow, and then there's next Monday is in Boston, and there's a few more days in Boston, I think, later in November.
And do you have to be for that, too?
I'll be for the one on next Monday.
Okay.
What do you have to do in
Boston? It's, I guess he opens a restaurant, maybe, or something like that.
Is that right?
You guys have to be there for the grand opening.
Yeah, so we're at his, like, opening.
Right. Now when you're on the sideline and you're doing your cheers and your Rebels uniform, are they actually playing, or is it just, like, really kind of they stage it? Or do they let them play, like, an extended period just to get some stuff on film?
Some of the shots, they play for an extended period. I mean, a lot of the guys played.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw this. There's some big guys out there. Yeah.
Well, almost all of them, you could definitely see they're the same size and they look look as NFL players.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys who are on the field have definitely all played. So they get to play some extended scenes.
Anybody get hurt yet, like in a hit?
We've had a few people.
Is that right?
Taking a pretty hard hit.
Really?
Yeah.
How's the Rock doing?
Two. He's good.
Have you met him?
Really? He came over and introduced
himself. Did he, like, raise his eyebrow when he met you?
No.
No?
That Rock guy.
But he came by and, like, said hi to all of us. And he has a touchdown dance that he does.
Yeah.
And we all do it with him. So,
oh, really? Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool.
So, he asked Kristen what she thought, and then he said, "It doesn't matter what you think."
Okay. Is that something he says a lot?
You knew about his eyebrow. I figured you were all.
Well, that's in everything, but I didn't know.
On the WWE.
Is he the one that says, "I smell something cooking"?
And you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Okay.
I swear he does it on purpose, Gary. I'm telling you, he does it on purpose.
I always get him confused with Goldberg.
Yeah, those are the same.
I don't know. I'm not into the wrestling. I used to be when I was a kid. Chief J. Strongbow, Bruno Sammartino, all those guys.
We're all thrilled. I actually went
to Bruno
Sammartino.
Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, no, not so much, Fred.
No?
Wolfman Jack.
So it's been a good experience?
Yeah, it's been a blast. I mean, it's a little cold out.
Yeah.
And we're actually...
In Arizona.
Yeah, right.
72 degrees and balmy in Arizona.
Right, so they kind of...
I saw that on the scoreboard when I was at my sensitivity training.
They spray you so it looks like you're sweating a little bit?
No? We just really pretend to be warm.
Well, if you were
training went over good for Fred.
That's not a respect... No, if you're a cheerleader in Arizona cheering, you'd be hot. So how do they make you look hot?
They spray the guys. A lot of them look like they're sweating.
But they don't do it with the cheerleaders?
No.
Okay.
They leave us.
Oh, hot.
So we're not sweating.
So you're looking good.
Yeah.
You're looking good. And do you have, like, makeup people that, like, are...
We have a hair person. All of us just do our makeup like we would
do
for
your
regular
own
games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we have a hair person that does our
There's
hair
a ton of people. Thing. It's like a whole city of people that are working on this movie.
Yeah, there's I can't even tell you how many, but there's a lot. When you see us all coming in the morning, there's a ton of people.
I know our cheerleaders, you guys get to do a bunch of different things, you know, appearances and some traveling and, in being at games. Is this the first movie that you've ever been in?
Yeah, this is the first movie I've ever been in. I was a theater major in college.
Oh,
though,
cool.
So.
Where'd you go to school?
Elmira College.
Elmira? Okay, that's up in New York?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is great. This is your first movie.
This is right up my alley.
Yeah, so, you know, give your card to the producer on the way out, you know.
No.
If you ever need anything else, you know, I'm available, you know.
Yeah.
Do some movies, whatever. Now, do you have a speaking part?
Nope.
Okay, so you didn't have to, like, join the Screen Actors Guild.
Actually, I'm eligible to join, so I could, but I haven't really decided.
Yeah, because I know once you actually say a line, you have to be a member,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's expensive to get in, but if you do that,
But you get paid a lot more once you're in.
And you also get, you know, like preferred extra status.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which
and they feed you lunch, right? That's they have to feed you.
And it's amazing lunch.
Really?
Great catered lunch, yeah.
Nice. Nice.
We have breakfast too, actually.
That's cool. And when do they tell you when the movie's going to be released?
No, I'm actually not sure yet. They haven't said anything. I mean, I'd have to ask the director. He hasn't told us yet.
Okay.
I assume not until after.
Well, that's cool.
Summer.
I'm sure everyone in the Turner family is going to want to get copies of this one.
Oh, yes. My whole family.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Well, congratulations.
Thank
and how
you.
Many of the Patriots cheerleaders are in the movie?
14.
69.
That's great. That's a good amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, well, you know, thanks for coming by.
No
good
problem.
Luck with the movie. I think I hear that they're called cheerleaders. I think I heard the big speaker.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm only kidding. But that's great. So thanks for coming by. Get a little behind-the-scenes look at what's going on here at Gillette Stadium, Kristen. All right, thank you.
Excellent.
That's
no
Kristen Turner, one of the Patriots cheerleaders. She's going to be in the game plan and took time to stop and talk with us. So right now, Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to your emails here at PFW in Progress.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs. Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal. Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it. Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo. We had a guest, Kristen Turner, from the Patriots cheerleading squad. She's involved in the game plan now. And took a little break from filming to tell us what's going on. So that we just thought that was interesting for our listeners. Now what's Gary doing? He's holding things up. Oh, okay. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. And let's see. Ben from Boxborough has an email, and he says, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom, I have a friend that insists on putting Rex Grossman into the Hall of Fame. Please shut him up for good. Well, I mean,
I think it's shut up.
Here's the deal.
The only thing I'll say about that is a little early. I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent.
Well, here's the deal, Ben. The guy's either, I think he's just kidding around with you. So if you can't see that he's kidding around with you, then, you know, that's, I think, where it starts. If he's truly not kidding around with you, he's an idiot. Because it's, how can you say anyone who hasn't even played a season yet?
Hasn't played a full season's worth of games.
Idiot.
Right. He's been in the league, what, 3 years?
Exactly.
And he hasn't played a full season's worth of games. But, I mean,
I think your friend's just trying to get you going.
What I have seen, I've been somewhat impressed with. I don't think I haven't been knocked over, but, you know, I think that he's made, I made a comment a couple of weeks ago. He makes some throws, I think, that you don't necessarily get away with all the time, and I think that's going to catch up to him. He made one touchdown throw against the Bills where he was backpedaling like crazy and threw the ball. It floated in the air forever and ended up being a touchdown. But I think those are the kind, you know, kind of like Brady's last touchdown pass the other day. I mean, more often than not, that one comes back to haunt you.
By the way, I think I might hate Roy Williams as much as Tom does.
Roy Williams is not.
You know what? He's a coward. He refuses to put his shoulder into a player to make a tackle. Instead, he guts from behind and grabs the shirt. It's the only way he knows how to tackle. It's infuriating.
I got a kick out of that opening touchdown last night where it wasn't really his fault. The other safety was the one that got beat, and he came over and he ran into the back judge.
Right.
That wouldn't have mattered. He wouldn't have made a play on the ball. He never does.
But he refuses to put his head down and make a tackle. All he could do was grab a shirt from behind.
I did not hear the commentary when that play happened, but did Tony Kornheiser legitimately ask if there was any recourse for a player running into the referee?
He asked Theismann if there's anything that a player can do to appeal on something like that.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I think it's...
Has he never watched football?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay that these networks try to these experiments with quote-unquote non-football guys as a color guy.
Yeah, but he's a sports writer. Right.
Either way, a prerequisite should be that he has a pretty fair grasp and knowledge of the rules. Now, I'm not saying every single rule, every situation that could possibly come up. None of us knows all of that stuff. I mean, you know, Belichick does, but
But I think you learn in high school that the ref in every sport is part of the playing
field. Yes.
Right.
I mean, if a basketball player is on a 2-on-1 and he knocks into a ref and it causes him to travel, that's traveling.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. Has he never seen this happen?
I've never seen this. It's a new Geico ad now. I'm going to have to listen to this at some point. So,
is that
inventing the wheel, laying the foundation for all mankind? You're right. Good point. Sorry we couldn't get that to you sooner.
Connie, your reaction?
Sounds like someone woke up on the wrong side of the rock.
Oh, you got to see this new Geico ad.
I think those ads are funny, but I don't necessarily get them.
it's
the best moments when they're making the commercial. Like, stop acting like a caveman. Not cool, man.
Yeah. Oh God. All right. Let's see. Next email comes from Craig in Boxborough. He says, "Great show as always. I feel the win Sunday really gave the defensive unit an opportunity to show their true skills, especially Vince Wilfork and Asante Samuel. With that said, do you think the Patriots...
Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Sure. Do you think the Patriots will re-sign Samuel for number one money? And do you think Wilfork has the potential to become a defensive star in the league?" Well, I think...
I think Samuel is going to get a big contract. I don't know, you know, this whole 1-2 cornerback thing I don't know about, but I think that... First of all, I think Samuel's played very, very well the last two games. And I think his agent is probably sitting home saying, this is great.
He's rubbing his fingers together, money.
And I'm not saying the Patriots won't give it to him, but my guess is that he's going to get to the open market and get a fairly substantial deal that probably will price him out of the market here.
Yep, yep, good.
And, yes, I do think Wilfork can be a top flight. I think he's an excellent player.
Well, I mean, I think he can be as far as a defensive star, he can be, the model is Ted Washington.
Or Jamal Williams now for San Diego,
yeah,
who is one of these 3-4 nose tackles that makes a lot of plays.
I think
Wilfork
as far as nose tackles go, yes, he can be a star.
Yeah, he's not going to be Julius Peppers,
right,
you know,
exactly,
and be like defensive player. Well, although Jamal Williams gets some consideration for that, but I don't think he's going to be one of these guys. He's never going to get 15 sacks.
You look at interior guys like Warren Sapp when he was playing well. Some people will say he never did. But when he was making plays with Tampa Bay, again, he's playing on a 4-3, even though he's an interior lineman. It's just not the same as what Ted Washington, Williams does and what Wilfork does.
Yeah, I do think he could be like that, though, because he's really, really quick.
Well, they used to call him Baby Sapp.
Like Warren Sapp was. He's really quick for that size, and he can't be blocked one-on-one.
Yeah.
So even though the Patriots preach that discipline with the two-gap and the responsibilities, I think he's going to make plays just out of sheer physical ability.
All right. Shane says, first, I just want to say that I really enjoy the podcasts. They're always entertaining. My name is Shane, and I'm from Ottawa, Canada. I guess you could say that I'm a PFW virgin, being that this is my first email to PFW in progress. So please be gentle.
Welcome aboard, Shane. One little criticism I'll have just by looking over Fred's shoulder. I want to shorten those emails down a little bit.
Right.
The other guy's name is escaping me.
As the O'Reilly factor says, keep it pithy. Anyway, he says, do you think that Seymour, given his performance to date, is having a Pro Bowl year? Personally, I still think he's playing great, but he hasn't been as dominant as he has in previous years. Could it be that Wilfork, Warren, and Green have picked up their play to a level whereby Seymour doesn't need to be that dominant presence? I say the opposite. If those guys have picked up their play, it would allow Seymour to become more dominant.
Right.
So I'm not following your line of thinking there, so sorry not to be gentle.
I was going to say you got to be gentle. It's his
right.
first time.
Shane also says, is Asante Samuel pricing himself out of New England? We were just talking about that. If he continues playing this well, he could be looking at some big money come the offseason. Is there any reason for Samuel to sign an extension before the end of the season, given that he'll be an unrestricted free agent and will probably attract significant interest? Do you think the Pats would franchise Samuel? Well, that's a possibility.
And one that has been broached in the organization. I'm not necessarily going to say that he'll be the one, but Daniel Graham is a guy I think we could maybe have that in the back of the mind.
Would you want to... You know, well, tight ends don't make that much
big
money.
Big difference in money. You franchise Asante Samuel, Fred. That's a big contract. You might as well just give him what he wants.
I guess, except it's just a one-year deal as opposed to, spreading it out. But a couple options in the team's back pocket. Sean finishes up by saying, I had a question about the Pats' return game. Maybe it's a mute point now. I think that's moot, M-O-O-T, not mute. Anyway, see, I can't be
It's conscious. Also Shane, not Sean.
Then that's my problem. Now, given Maroney's performance on Sunday versus the Bills, but I'll ask it anyway, is there a place in the Pats roster for a pure kick returner, punt returner specialist? Basically a guy who might contribute as a wide receiver or defensive back, but he'll never be one of the top three at that position. A guy who is always a threat to have the big return and possibly take it to the house. During this year's draft, I was wondering if the Pats would use a pick on a guy like Devin Hester. At the time, I thought he was pretty explosive return guy, and I think he's proven it this year.
I agree with your characterization of Hester. However, I don't think the Patriots would draft a guy that they really didn't think
right.
could do anything else other than be a return guy. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Bethel Johnson really was only a return guy.
Right.
But they didn't draft him with that
no.
in mind. They drafted him as a wide receiver with return skills. He never really exhibited the wide receiver abilities. And by the way, did you see he almost took the first kick for the Vikings? He almost took it to the house,
yeah.
Bethel Johnson. So he'll have to worry about him this week.
He's definitely got the speed. You know, I was interested, you know, Maroney had the nice return in the game.
That was a really special return.
I went back and was watching some of his tapes at Minnesota. Man, he was good. I mean, he is good.
He's fast. Where were you watching tapes from him in Minnesota?
I'll show you the site when we get off. But, okay. I mean, he...
Let me know when you get off.
he showed some stuff at Minnesota, and I can see why Tom was so high on him. I mean, this guy, he's the real deal.
No, just so you know.
Get off!
Well, none of us will pretend to have the depth of knowledge that Tom has, you know, with regard to...
Right.
I think we're all pretty high on Maroney when we drafted him.
Okay, I'll include you too, Paul.
I'm just saying, you know, let's not put him in Canton yet, all right, fellas?
Alex is writing in.
Pronounced Fouquet.
He says, is this the end of our good pal Drew, or will he start somewhere else and become the next Testaverde? Will he be Matt Millen's next hot pick?
I think this is the end for Boyd Drew.
The booth?
So you take him to
the
word
that
he just won't settle to be a backup and he'll walk away from the game?
Oh, I definitely take him at that word, but I also don't think that he's going to have anybody really seeking his services.
If he wants to be a backup on my team, I'd take him.
No, as a starter. I don't think anybody's going to seek his services. Oh, I think he'd be a terrific backup.
Right, I think plenty
of teams. As a matter of fact, I think there's a lot about him would be perfect because most backup quarterbacks can't really throw. I mean, he'd be a really, really dangerous backup because he's a guy capable of coming in and you're not prepared for
him.
Not
only can he can throw interceptions.
No, but what I'm saying is if you're not necessarily prepared for him specifically, he has the skills that could be dangerous.
Yep. No, it's absolutely.
But I don't think he's really interested in that, to be honest with you. And I don't think anybody's interested in him as a starter.
Well, he's got plenty of money.
And you know what? He's one of those guys, and I don't say this in a negative way. I just don't think that football is the be-all, end-all for me.
No.
Football is very important, and the guy's played it all his life. He's been a quarterback his whole life.
Right.
His father was a coach. Football obviously is important to him, so I don't want to misunderstand that. But I just don't think that's the only thing in his life. Some guys can't do anything but football. You know, kind of like Tiki Barber right now. I mean,
sure.
You know, he's in a position where he obviously has a passion for football, Tiki Barber does. But it's not the only thing that runs his life. He has other interests. And I think Drew is a very family-oriented guy.
Yep.
And I think that he would probably just look at it and say, you know what, if I'm not good enough anymore, if they don't think I can do it, this is time to walk away. I'm hoping
really
that
junior
does.
High too.
I'm hoping that's what happens because then I don't have to worry about it anymore.
And you are worrying about
it. I do. I like the guy so much, Fred, it bothers me to see this happening to him.
Russell,
you know, you don't. I mean, you probably wish that he like blew out his ACL or something.
The guy's not. You know,
you don't want to work.
Now that is just a gross mischaracterization of how I feel.
You root for injuries,
I don't.
Just because they're not for Drew.
No, I don't. I don't root for injuries. Who do you think I am, Bill Polian? Russell from the Orange County says, reading the Herald today, there's an article questioning who these Patriots are and comparing them with the 2001 team. I would think they are far superior to that team. But the article questions who have they beat.
That was in the Herald today?
I guess so.
I missed that.
Who have they beat and how the Denver smothered them with ease. It questions that maybe the Bengals aren't as good as advertised. Well, who have any of the top teams beaten? The Bears beat Seattle, but if maybe they're not as good as advertised, Indy hasn't beaten anyone. This seems to be a grass is greener mentality or paranoia. Lastly, with all the talk, hype, and expectations surrounding the tight end position, all the comparisons go to Ben Coates. Now, Ben was excellent, but for all those old enough to have seen both, Russ Francis was by far their best tight end I've seen.
I agree.
Your thoughts? Oh, and does anyone know when the NFL went to the unified ball? Back in the Stone Age, on Monday Night Football, they used the ball with the broken stripe. Thanks. Love the show.
I want to say early 70s, 73.
Is that right?
Maybe 72. They got rid of the stripes. I agree with Russ Francis was a special tight end. Now
the problem was he wasn't all there.
Early in his career, Ben Coates was I think a lot of people are clouded by Coach. They remember, you know, like these 10-yard catches over the middle that Bledsoe used to just drill to him, and then nine guys would jump on Coach's back and he'd get the first down.
Right.
But earlier in his career, Ben Coach was a Ben Watson-type tight end that got down the seam deep a lot.
Right.
But Russ Francis, you know,
but Coach doesn't have the speed of Watson. Watson has much better speed than Coach.
Well, straight line speed, yeah.
Coach probably has better hands than Watson will. Yeah.
Not even close.
Louis writes in, is it fair to compare Jeremy Shockey with Mark Bavaro like the New York media does?
I don't think that Jeremy Shockey does the blocking that Mark Bavaro did.
I don't know. I mean,
Shockey's a pretty good tight end. Yeah. Just because he's a wing nut doesn't mean he's not
that
good.
That's the thing. That's what separates the two. Bavaro, I think it was funny. They had a whole montage of Parcells clips, you know, over the years, things he said to players, you know, funny stuff. I think there was one. He's on the sideline, and Bavaro, he goes, man, that guy doesn't talk. I think I might have to fight him. That's Parcells talking about Bavaro. I got to get him to say something.
He's one of my homeboys.
Because Bavaro, he was just stoic.
You know, that previous email or two talked about who's beaten who and whatnot, and I didn't see the piece that he's talking about, but this team is far better than the 2001 team. The 2001 team is, I'm telling you, 20 years from now, you're going to look back at that team and say, what a special team that was. How on earth did that team ever win a Super Bowl? Right. How special that was.
Yeah.
Because it really just wasn't that good. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I just,
as a team, they were great.
Flat-out talent-wise, I'm sorry.
And, you know, we forget. We just remember the game in St. Louis, against St. Louis. But, you know, there was a lot of things that had to happen just right for them to get into position to even be there. I mean, it was a magical season. It really was.
I think if the 2001 Patriots played the 2003 or 2004 Patriots, I think they would lose by three touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's how much different, I think, in talent it was. Now, obviously, there's a lot of characters on those teams that would be on both, so you could never really figure it out. But
I mean, you think about it. Brady is now a veteran quarterback.
Brady is so many times better.
Then.
I mean, he was really. I mean, I know that people used to bristle at the notion, but in 2001, Tom was really a caretaker.
That's all he was.
He managed the game, stayed out of the way, and made some plays because he's Tom Brady.
Yep.
But he had a lot, especially down the stretch when he had a lot of games where they ran the ball very effectively. They played close to the vest. They didn't score any points. They didn't allow any points. And
right.
They used the weather. You know, Vinatieri made all the big kicks, and they won.
Yep.
I mean, that's basically how they managed it. But they weren't necessarily, in my opinion, as good as they are. You know, they went on to be in 03 and 04. And as far as the teams now, I think that there's a bunch of teams that are kind of lumped in the middle. They're up, the top of the AFC, in my opinion, is four or five teams that are all the same. And I think Denver and San Diego are there. I think Indy's there. You know, I think probably someone in the North is there, although I'm not exactly sure who it is. But talent-wise, Pittsburgh is pretty good. Cincinnati's pretty good. And the Patriots are right at the top with all of them. I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite now. And to say, you know, people are criticizing the Patriots, they haven't really beaten anybody, that's true. They have really one solid win. And
we don't know how good Cincinnati really is.
Right, and we have four others against teams that you would be absolutely stunned if they lost.
But that's the way it is every
year. That's the way it is. You play who you play.
Right, and you
last
don't really know.
Last year at this time, we were complaining the other way.
Yeah, you don't really know the quality of those wins until the season's over, and every team has kind of played what they're going to play, and you can see the body of work and say, oh, you know what, that was a good win, or oh, that team wasn't as good as we thought they were. But, you know, so just play what you can play right now.
Last year, all the belly aching that was being done by our fans every single week about how tough the schedule was and all this. Well, if you were doing that last year, you should be calling in this year and saying how easy the schedule is.
Right.
And I would summarily dismiss both as saying that it's irrelevant because you have to play who's on your schedule.
The funny thing about this is by the end of the season, one of the best wins after looking back could be the Jets win. I mean, you know,
I would highly doubt that.
But you know, who knows? I mean, they're 4-3 now.
I think one of your best wins is going to come up pretty soon because I think that they have a three game.
Sure.
Well, you know, they play Minnesota and the Colts back to back. I think that I don't think either game is unwinnable by any stretch. I think they probably could win both. But I think these might be the games that you're looking back and say, well, that's a pretty good team we beat.
Well, I think as a fan, we're happy that we have a team that can win every game they play. I mean, there's no team that's much better than them, that they don't have a chance in every game, and that's what you want to be in this league.
Yeah, and that's
it's a parity league. You want to be competitive with every team.
And Fred, I think that the way you just put that is perfect. That whole group that I said in the AFC, I think you could say that. I think Denver could go into any game saying,
and they
we can
win
this game.
That's right.
San Diego.
That's right.
Indianapolis, all of those teams.
That's why it's a great league.
In the past, first of all, not every team can say that, but in the past, Not as many teams, I don't think, could say. I think, you look at 04, Pittsburgh, it went 15-1, and New England went 14-2, and Indy went 13-3, and then there was a clear drop.
Right, there was. Yep.
I don't think there was as many teams that, quote-unquote, could say they could beat anybody.
Yep. Let's see. Tom writes in. He couldn't stay out of this conversation. Tom Casale says, question, what's the difference between Bledsoe and a tree? Answer. There is no difference. Both are tall, stupid, can't move, read defenses, or play quarterback in the NFL. Sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to make fun of trees by comparing them to Bledsoe. Also, Parcells is 27-27. That means he wins an average of 8 games a season. Dave Campo won 5 games a year. The only difference is Fat Boy makes $25 million more. In 10 years, the Cowboys will be the Raiders because they have an owner who thinks he can be the president and GM as well. If anyone disagrees, answer me this. If Jerry Jones sent his resume to the 31 other teams for a GM job, would he even get an interview? The correct answer is no. By the way, another TD for Jeremy Shockey on Roy Williams, but as all Cowboys fans say, it wasn't Roy's fault. So, Paul has nothing to say.
No.
But we always like it when Tom chimes in. That's good. Webradio@patriots.com is email address, webradio@patriots.com. I see on ESPN News, Charlie Weiss is holding a press conference to tell us how many more NFL teams are contacting him, I'm sure. I have a big problem
with
that.
And a two, and a three.
All right.
That game was fixed, by the way.
Yeah.
That game was fixed the other day.
Brian from Somerville, Mass., says, in the Colts-Redskins game, at the end of the third quarter, the Colts scored a TD to go up 33-14. A 19-point lead over a team whose offense has been unable to get anything going in the second half. I was a little surprised to see them go for two. If you kick the PAT, you go up by 20, forcing them to get three TDs. By missing the two-point conversion, the Redskins now only need two TDs with two-point conversion and a field goal to tie. It just seems to me like they were chasing points they weren't going to need. Were they trying to run up the score, or did they really think their D was bad enough to give up 21 fourth-quarter points to the Skins?
I disagree. I think you try to get to 21. So three touchdowns doesn't beat you. I think that's the smart play.
Right.
I don't think there's anything to do with running up the score at all. It's an odd score during a game to be up by 19. That 19, it's kind of an odd. You don't see it very often, but I think that's the play.
Let's see. Jakinson. That's his name, Jakinson. Hey, I was thinking with the way
this. Where's he from?
It doesn't say where he's from.
Because I knew a kid never named Jay Jenkinson.
No, his first name is Jakinson.
No.
I was thinking the way that the Seahawks are playing, plus injuries, do you think the pick they got, I guess he means the Patriots got from them, could end up being in the top 15? Is there any big names that should be in free agency after the season ends that the Pats should go after?
Any big names in free agency? I have no idea who's in free agency, and we'll find out at the end of the year.
Well, but, I guess we kind of hope that the Seattle continues to lose, right? Because the more they lose, the higher that pick is.
Well, theoretically, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, Sean Alexander's out. He should be back in a couple weeks, we think.
Mm-hmm.
Hasselbeck is now out for 2 to 3 weeks with a sprained knee. They got some off-field problems. Things are falling apart a little bit over there.
What are the off-field problems?
Why am I?
Why do you keep saying
I
San
keep
Diego
confusing
and
Seattle and San Diego. Oh, my goodness. It's all got to do with the respect.
Seriously, Fred, what's going on today?
I'm telling you.
Even for you, you're a little bit scattershot.
It's all got to do with the respect. I know somebody's going to come down on me hard. Eric. Eric from Manch Vegas, which I've learned is now Manchester, New Hampshire.
That's what Brian used to call it all the time, but I don't know.
We were talking about Sean Merriman and supplements earlier. He says, no way in hell are supplement companies putting Andrelone, also known as commercially as Deca Durabolin, in supplements. I believe Lights Out is masking agents. Oh, I believe Lights Out's masking agents didn't work. The biggest, fastest men in the planet play football, and they're all clean. I'm laughing out loud.
I agree with Andy Hart, obviously.
What's that?
I just assumed that was Andy Hart's email, knowing an awful lot about
that
world.
That's somebody that
I agree with the emailer. First of all, a vast majority of players in baseball and football, and I'm going to even say a lot of hockey and basketball players, they're doing this stuff.
Yep.
These guys are just too unnaturally big, in my opinion, and I think it's naive to think that only the guys getting caught are the ones.
Do you legalize it under medical supervision? Just say, you know what, do it.
Guys a lot smarter than me, Fred, would have to do these kinds of medical studies to really find out what the long-term ramifications are. But the way it's done right now is silly, in my
but
opinion.
But is it?
It's like they stick their head in the sand.
Now we're talking about chemical agents in the body, but doesn't every generation have their new advance that we really don't know the effect? I mean, all right, let's face it. We know what weightlifting can do, but, you know, now we find out the old Nautilus machines were actually bad for your shoulder, you know, because, you know, Tom Casale made me fully aware of that because it extends the shoulder back to an abnormal position when you're putting up the weight. And, you know, so every era has their new advances that we really don't know what the implications are.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily just dismissing that notion of just, you know, just make them legal. I'm just saying,
well, make it legal under medical supervision.
Yeah, get some sort of medical personnel and figure out what's, you know, what works. I personally can't fathom how, like, HGH doesn't eventually become bad for you. You know, I don't think it's necessarily normal to grow bigger than you're supposed to.
But I saw a 60 Minutes thing where, you know, doctors, and I'm assuming they're accredited doctors, saying this, it's great. I take it. You know, the doctor saying, I take it every day, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you can get that, then I don't see any reason why you're just kind of playing this facade that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's an issue, though. And I think, you know, the NFL could talk about their drug policy all they want, and it might be a little bit more strict than the other leagues. But to turn away and think that because of that policy, guys aren't doing stuff is nuts. They're doing it. They're doing it.
I agree.
Karen from Scituate, Rhode Island. I was surprised that the Bills did not perform better on Sunday against the Pats. I had seen their first game against the Patriots and some of their game against Miami, and they looked competitive at least. I thought they would play much better against the Patriots on Sunday. J.P. Losman does not look like he is an NFL quarterback. The coach seems conservative. Were you guys expecting more from them? I certainly was, since their season seemed to almost be on the line. Love your show, especially Paul's comments.
Thank you. I wasn't surprised that, no, I don't think Buffalo is very good. I was surprised opening day that Buffalo provided as much of a test as they did. I think that they were competitive against Miami because Miami stinks.
I think
they weren't really competitive against Detroit. I know the score was close, but they weren't really competitive against one of the worst teams in football.
I think that the Bills aren't that bad a team. They need an offensive line. They need a quarterback. Now, you can't just pick one off the street, but I think that's how close they are to having a pretty solid team. They need an offensive line. They need a quarterback. I think the receivers are good. I think McGahee is an excellent runner. I think he picked up a lot of yards that weren't there. I think he ran really hard.
He runs very hard, but I don't think he's a big play guy.
Well,
I think it showed on that shovel pass. I think, you know, the elite backs in the league, that's a touchdown.
Well,
especially a guy with a bad hamstring, how he can run you down on that play.
I think he's pretty good. I think their defense, as you know, I think they're pretty good. I think they need a quarterback and they need an offensive line.
Just out of curiosity, Fred, how many games in a row are they going to have to give up a lot of points before you say that they don't really have that great of a defense?
I think when you have an offense like that that continually turns the ball over, it just, as
so
a defense,
you,
it loses hope. You just.
How do you account for the first drive of the game before the defense?
I think the Patriots are pretty good.
Offensively, that was the first time all year that they did that.
Well, I think the I think they're getting better. I think the Patriots offense
I think
is
getting better too, Fred. But I mean,
I give some credit to the Patriots offense.
I give a lot of credit to the Patriots offense, but I'm not even just basing it on the Patriots games. I'm basing it on every game that they
I understand,
play.
And I think
they had basically
look
one
at that
game,
and Losman just turns the ball over.
That's just such a cop-out.
I think they've got a pretty good defense.
I know you do, but I just don't think you're right. I think the stats would bear you incorrect.
I think you can look at stats and you can say things about, but I think if you look at the overall picture, I think you have to have a handle on things from a grander view than just looking at stats.
I'm going to look at the overall picture. I'm going to see Terrence McGee cannot cover anybody.
Well, there's a guy in every team that can't cover
everybody. They have two rookie safeties. They're terrible in the pass defense. They're terrible in run defense. They had to put 8 and 9 guys in the box to neutralize that. The only thing they have going for them, in my opinion, is Aaron Schobel against the Patriots.
Well, I think they're okay. I like Takeo Spikes.
I like Nate Clements. I like Takeo Spikes, and I like Aaron Schobel. The rest of them you can keep.
Okay. Let's see. Tom has to write in again. He can't help himself.
I should have just said he should come down.
He's going to rip both of us now. He says, you realize we can't see hot girls over the air, right? Are you trying? He's talking about Kristen being here. Are you trying to put everyone to sleep? Talk football like you always tell the rest of us to do. Patriots fans tune in to hear about the Pats, who won 28-6 this weekend, by the way. Not an extra in a Disney movie. No wonder the emailers are turning on you and turning the show off. I know I am. Awful.
He's unbelievable.
He's grouchy. Well, he had a bad night. I mean, you should have seen the emails that he was sending to me during the game. I mean, Jamie in Houston's on the line. Jamie, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jamie.
Is that the same guy who talks about the sensitivity training? Is that the San Jose guy?
Who?
The who?
San Jose?
Yeah, no, there was a guy from San Jose way back was talking about how you all can't get along and talk about football and you do too much bickering.
No. We actually had a thing for employees with...
was a real... The sensitivity thing was a real thing. The guy in San Jose, that was the guy who just yelled at us.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not, talking about what he wants us to talk about for 2 hours every day.
Well, there you go. Hey, what I also want to know is, are the fans talking about Tom Brady's body language anymore now that we're 5-1?
No, but you'd be surprised, Jamie. We got 3 or 4 more Ask PFWs today or yesterday that said that they're still waiting for Tom to play well. What's wrong with Tom? You know, why isn't he doing any better than this? And I just don't see it. I got to be honest with you. I think they're getting better by the week, and I think the passing game is getting better. I felt like everything that I wrote in my post-game analysis was contradicted by all these questions that we're getting in Ask PFW.
Yeah, I mean, that's surprising because I think by far that's been his best game. I think he was sharp. I think the passes were on. He's much better. His performance has markedly improved from, some of those dying ducks he was throwing for no good reason.
He missed Caldwell early in the game on a double move deep down the sideline, and he missed Watson later on a play that he was kind of rushed on. Other than that, I thought he was dead on. I mean, the pass to Jackson was perfect. I know he was wide open, but it was a perfect throw.
And he was patient in the pocket to allow the time.
Yeah.
You know, after being harassed, he still had the presence of mind to be patient and to let him get free. He had another touchdown to Caldwell.
I was
going
to say, had Caldwell caught that easy touch, that was a perfect throw. You might look at his day a lot differently.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take into account the pressure he was under pretty much. If you looked at his jockey shorts on Sunday, they probably said property Aaron Schobel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I said the clock in his business. My comment was the clock in his head was going Schobel 1, Schobel 2, Schobel 3. Because the guy was always in the backfield.
Yeah. Now, let me ask one other quick thing, too, guys. Was Spikes back in? I've lost track of him. I mean, he was not. If he was in, he was definitely not.
Yeah, he played, but you're right. He didn't really show up a lot. You know, yeah. They kind of neutralized
him. I didn't see him much.
He wreaked havoc in that first game. Then he got hurt, and then that was the best thing that happened. And then I knew that he was supposed to have returned. But, I didn't even see or hear his number called at all.
It was an interesting game. You know, even for the Patriots, Sayo had 9 tackles, led the team. But I can only remember 1.
Yeah, Spikes had 5 tackles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think overall in the big picture? It's great to be 4-0 in the division and 5-1 overall. But there are a lot of people again, I'm pleased. I'm a huge fan, as you guys know. But I don't feel all that comfortable 5-1 with the competition. With strength of schedule doesn't really give us a whole lot of room to hang our hats off.
Again, though, Jamie, they're 5-1. I mean, that's all they can do is win games that are given to them. So, I mean, yeah, it's hard to say that they're the class of the league. I don't think anyone is though yet this year. Even Indianapolis and the Bears, who are 6-0. I think, they've yet to prove what they can do against some of the better teams. But we don't even know really who the better teams are because, like you said, just like the Patriots, a lot of teams haven't played each other yet. So that's all going to flesh itself out. And, usually the Patriots rise to their opponents. You know, I don't think what's going to happen this year is what happened last year when they played San Diego and just got blown away. I don't think you're going to see that. I think, you know, the closest they've got to that so far was the Denver game. I got a feeling if they play Denver again, you know, even though it was a 10-point spread, 17-7, they played Denver again, I think they'd beat them.
Well, I certainly hope so, because those are the kind of teams they need to...
Paul's just laughing at me.
Well, I'm laughing because what would you expect? I mean, you thought they were going to beat them the last how many times? They've lost, you know, they're 1-6 in their last 1-5 or whatever.
This season. I mean, if they played them twice this season.
Yeah, I know. And what did you say last year going into the playoff game? Same thing you just said.
Should have beat them.
Right. Well, of course.
Yeah. But in closing, I was very pleased. I think the offense has come together. I think, you know, as the commentary on the game, you know, the timing is there. You know, it's just a matter of getting through the reps and they're getting Jackson in there a little bit more. Is he still active? What's his status in practice? Is he becoming?
He's been practicing.
Oh, no, he's
full
time now.
He's been practicing regularly for a couple of weeks now. Yeah.
Yeah, because it still seems they're using him as, you know, he's the gizmo guy. You know, yeah. He's the end of rounds. He really isn't catching a whole lot. He had that beautiful touchdown pass. But aside that was the only real pass to some catch.
Well, I like that. I mean, they're getting him involved. You know, getting him with the hands on the ball and. I don't mind seeing, you know, the gizmo running him on an end around just to get him involved in the play a little bit, you know, putting some numbers up next to his name, getting hit. I think that's good, and eventually Brady will, you know, start looking to him more. But I think what they're doing is pretty good for him, him earn it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good way to get him started, but you know, eventually he's got to make that transition. But again, that's the kind of pressure you're under when you're a high round, you know, pick and with a lot of expectations.
Absolutely.
On. All right. Well,
Jamie.
Let's go, guys. Take care.
Okay, thanks, that's Jamie from Houston.
All right,
now, Paul, if the Patriots were to play Denver again this year,
yes,
you know, based on right now, you know, the way both teams are playing, who would you pick?
Where's the game?
Let's say Denver.
Denver.
You'd pick Denver. If it was here, you'd pick the Patriots?
Probably the Patriots, yeah.
What about a neutral site, Super Bowl? They can't play in the Super Bowl. AFC Championship.
A neutral
site? Well, they can't.
We'll just say a neutral site. Right. I got to say Denver, Fred, just because, you know, whatever. I don't know, really have any rational explanation other than to just say, just like I would pick the Patriots in all those scenarios against the Colts.
Okay.
Because I just think for whatever reason.
I know. All right.
They have their...
Gary says we need to be right back, so we'll be right back.
No, that's not what he wanted to say.
Well, he said
he'll be right back.
Oh, he's going to be right back.
Yeah. No,
he puts a note in front of him. He says, be right back.
I thought you said you were all right, Spider.
Oh, okay. So he's
gone? He wants us to keep talking. Yeah, he'll be right back.
Where's he going?
I don't know.
Anyway. Andy's again.
But for just the same reason I would say the Patriots, I would pick over the Colts.
Over the Colts.
Right now, I say Denver over the Patriots.
Okay.
Not necessarily because I think they're better, but...
They have their number.
You know, whatever. He looks like he's got something. I don't know.
I guess they always lose to him, so what can I say? But I just think that this, if they played him again this year, they'd figure out what they need to do against that defense to score enough points to win, and I think the Patriots' defense would limit them.
If the Patriots had to play in the AFC Championship game tomorrow and they could choose their opponent, who do you think that they would choose last?
Who would they choose last? Well, that's a good question, and probably Denver.
That's my point.
Yeah,
not that they couldn't beat them, because
especially if it's in Denver.
I don't think that they would have no shot to beat them.
Yeah.
I don't want to get bombarded with emails.
Yeah,
but I think that Denver would be their last choice.
Andy Hart again. So far, you've talked about Bledsoe, The Rock, the movie, and some cheerleader. Are you ever going to talk about the Patriots, or will you continue to flirt with a cheerleader that we can't see for the next hour? Give it up, you two grumpy old men. Get to football and keep it in your pants. See, they're up there, with, you know, typing emails, you know, but they're too busy to come down here.
Right. Well, what are you going to do?
You know, I know what I'll do. Amir writes in, first off, let me just say that Tom was dead wrong about Buffalo. He said that they would not be able to stop the run, but they did. Their dominant game plan caused them to beat the Pats for a second time this year. I don't know what that means. They didn't beat them.
They beat
the Patriots. He says their dominant game plan caused them to beat the Pats for the second time this year.
I don't really understand what that means.
I don't either. Anyway, whoops. Oh, okay. I got to keep reading. Whoops. Wait, the Pats won. Okay, Tom was still wrong, but the game went great. Glad to see the practice.
Didn't pick Buffalo to win the game.
No, he didn't. But I think he said that the Patriots would run all over them.
Well, a lot of people thought that, but yeah. Instead of really trying to do that, they opened up the passing game and threw the ball, what, 9 times on the first drive for a touchdown.
Glad to see the practice on the passing game. To be fair, I agreed with Tom and was surprised at the Bills' run defense. I think that this team has some potential. This game's main weakness was the O-line. I felt that both passing and run blocking were not up to par. The two TD runs by Dillon were well blocked, and he ran them very impressively. The total run yardage was disappointing, though.
The running game was not good at all. They had two good runs on the touchdowns by Dillon, and that was it. The rest of the run yardage was on trick plays.
I do feel bad for Bledsoe after watching the Monday night game, only because I think that he's a good guy and has some decent playing skills. I think his main problem is that he does too much reacting and not enough anticipation. His biggest crime in this town was he's no Tom Brady. The whole show in Dallas is due to Jerry Jones. Bob Kraft would never cause or allow this sort of nonsense. Kraft may be a fat cat, but he is a good fat cat, and we the fans are damn glad to have him. Then he goes on to the FDA. It regulates drugs and requires that foods list all their ingredients. Drugs do not list ingredients, but they are registered and approved by the FDA. The USDA provides the nutrient content and vitamin content of most foods as a public service, but does not list dietary supplements. The FDA lists some common dietary supplements as a public service, but this has priority below their mission of drug approval. So the bottom line is that the supplements fall through the cracks in the law, and I suspect that the player's lawyer knows this and is exploiting this avenue as the only way to refute a chemically accurate test.
This emailer obviously sounds like he knows a lot more about this than we do, Fred, but
yes.
I find it hard to believe that the athletes can't find out exactly what is in the supplement.
Send it to a lab
taking.
And pay for the test.
I find it awfully hard to
Absolutely.
Believe.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got too much riding on your career to have it risked by taking something you don't know what is in it.
Yeah, I'm not talking about reading a label. Because
especially nowadays, you know.
Plus,
you could be tested at any time.
You could read a label, and that could, you know,
yeah.
Players aren't going to do that. There's so many different things that are banned. You got to have it done for you.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Bonds, I rubbed the ointment on my leg. I didn't know. That's crap. It's just crap.
I agree.
Andy in Sioux City. Guys, maybe you have discussed this already, but with Maroney returning to his college field, don't you expect him to tear it up a little? I look for him to have a big game. What do you think, Paul?
It has been talked about a little bit. Yeah, it would make sense. And he looks like he takes to that turf a little bit, don't you think, Fred?
I'll show you the site I was on yesterday, but, man, he had some good runs.
But, I mean, the Meadowlands?
Yeah.
Cincinnati,
yeah.
Now Buffalo, field turf. We're heading to field turf again in Minnesota. You know, he clearly likes that surface.
Dave from Cambridge, I'd like to talk about Jake Plummer. Apparently this guy sucks. All of the Broncos fans want him gone and Jay Cutler in. As much as I hate to admit it, he's a Patriots killer. Even the game the Pats won in Denver a couple of years ago, the backup was playing. So looking ahead to the playoffs, I'm all for bringing in Jay Cutler. Another rookie QB Belichick's defense can feed on. What do you think? Well, I think it's Denver's defense is the killer. And I think last year in the playoffs, the Patriots were their own killer.
He's right, though. Plummer didn't play in that one game.
No, he didn't.
The Patriots won.
No, I mean, and the other guy played, and they had to have a safety to win the game.
Well, they took a safety intentionally to get the ball back.
Right, exactly.
Look, I don't think that Plummer's playing great, and I don't think I'm making any kind of bold statement with that. But you and I talked about it at the beginning. I've talked about this with Tom and Andy as well. You can't win consistently big games by just not trying to make mistakes on offense, not even really trying to score. That Oakland game a couple of weeks ago was gross. It was third and threes, third and fives, third and eights. Didn't matter. They were running Tatum Bell off tackle. If they got the first down, great. If they didn't, they didn't care. They were just going to punt the ball and hope that Oakland couldn't score. You can't do that against really good teams.
No.
When the Patriots play Denver next, their offense is going to be playing a lot better than it was playing in that night game in week three. I wouldn't expect the Patriots to go the better part of, 55 minutes without a point the way they did that night.
Bob Lee writes in, it is truly amazing how many of the media pundits has anointed some teams and diminished the feats of others. For example, here are examples from the current season. One, commenting that the New York Giants are in chaos, that the players don't like their coach, and they have no pass rush after the Dallas game. Now they are in control, and now they boast the most fearsome defensive foursome.
I got to be honest with you. I never heard that criticism of the Giants this year.
Two.
No pass rush? They have a great pass rush.
Two, that Miami will win the AFC East. Three, that Matt Leinart is a budding superstar, although he has not won a game yet.
The Leinart one I'll agree with, because even though I think that he's looked reasonably good in two out of his three starts.
How did he ever be a superstar if he's on the Cardinals?
You know what? He's 0-3. Let's not lose sight of that. You know, I was talking to Andy about this. They were talking about Lossman, and Lossman was like 3-11 or something like that as a starter heading into Sunday. And everybody's pretty much universally decided in Buffalo that he's not the answer. And everybody's universally decided that Leinart is the next great thing. Well, you know, he's 0-3, probably well on his way to being 3-11 at some point.
Right, right.
You know.
Right. And yeah.
I know that Leinart has looked better in losing his games than Lossman.
Absolutely. You put Leinart on a better team and he'll have a better record, but it's hard to prove that until he has, you know, so.
I'm sure you could put Lossman on a better
team.
Like, you don't think if Lossman was the Patriots quarterback, he would win some games? I'm not saying he would win Brady-like games, but you don't think he'd win a few?
I mean, Archie Manning was, I guess, a good quarterback when he came out of LSU or wherever he
Archie
came.
Archie Manning?
Yeah, Archie.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. But he was on the Saints. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think he was a great quarterback. You know, he never led his team to anything. So
I don't think he was that great. I don't think he was great because I didn't.
But
think
a lot
he
of people think,
player.
You know, he came out of college with a, you know, a lot of hope.
Same kind of thing. He went to a college that didn't win a lot, and he kind of won some games for them. And
yeah, let's see. Three, that Philip Rivers will take the San Diego to the promised land a la Tom Brady before playing Denver twice. Four, that Cincinnati is the number one team in the AFC before being thrashed by the Patriots and now are considered in danger of missing the playoffs. Five, the bandwagon anointing Donovan McNabb as the MVP before losing to New Orleans and Tampa Bay. Now that has been virtually disregarded. So now he goes back. One, Denver's only... This is the things that have been disregarded. One, Denver's only allowed 2 touchdowns in 6 games. Jake Plummer does not play defense. Why so much talk about the Chicago defense? Two, Indianapolis is averaging 111 yards rushing per game with rookie running backs. Three, Tom Brady is supposedly hamstrung by substandard receivers, but is currently tied for second in the AFC in TD passes with 10. Somebody must be catching the ball. Four, that Oakland is the 5th-rated defense in the NFL based on yards per game. And five, Dallas has the 5th-leading offense in the NFL, mostly amassed by Drew Bledsoe. Perhaps Dallas's problem is on defense, not offense. Paul likes that last one.
Well, I just think that you just did those last five. You did what you accused other people on the first five. And you're taking a small sample immediately.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong. I think everything that you said at the end was fine, but I also think that everything that was said before that was fine. First of all, the Miami winning the division thing, we talked about this. ESPN has a panel of 12 experts. 3 of them picked Miami. The other 9 picked the Patriots. So the vast majority of the opinion out there was that Miami might be an up-and-coming team, and I think we're all surprised that they're in disarray. Because I don't think any... Did you think they were going to be a bad team?
I didn't think they were this bad.
I thought 8-8, 9-7. I thought they would compete for a playoff spot. But I didn't think they were going to be, you know, Sports Illustrated, you know, go to the Super Bowl or anything like that. I just think that if you wait until everything unfolds, then you can't be wrong.
Right. That's
true.
Donovan
McNabb was playing at an MVP level, and you could argue even the other day they're down, what, 20 to nothing, 17 to
nothing? He was on record pace in 5 games.
And he rallied them back. Yeah. I mean, he had a miserable game and got them in that hole, but he rallied them back and lost on a 62-yard field goal.
The media people won't be doing their job unless they come out with statements, definitive statements, and they have to do it throughout the season at every stage. And, you know, at this early stage, the majority of them are going to be wrong.
I mean, should...
But I think it's okay to, you know, but it happens every year. I don't think we
as
should
long
get
as
offended
you, as long as you adjust, you know, and go on and say, look, we thought that Cincinnati was a very good team early in the year, and right now they look kind of ordinary.
Right.
You know, even though I think that people are just overlooking a very good win they had, by the way, Sunday.
Yes, 17-14.
Good come-from-behind win in a style that they're not supposed to be able to win.
Yep.
And also, they should have won the previous game on the road in the same manner, only for Mike Carey, you know, Tom's best friend, throwing a ridiculous phantom roughing the passer flag.
Dan Heffron writes in, the 2001 Patriots may not have been as good as the 2003 or 2004 Patriots, but I think the 2001 Patriots would still have beaten the 2005 Steelers, and I would pick them over the 2000 Ravens as well.
Oh, no chance for the 2000 Ravens.
Just because of their defense.
Well, God, yeah. The Patriots might have ended up in negative yardage. That was a bad offense against a bad defense.
Let's see. Evan in Melrose says, hey, not very important in the whole scheme of things, but what happened to the fumble on the last play of the first half of the Pats versus the Buffalo game?
Referee said it was not a fumble.
On all the official stats and play-by-play, there was no fumble listed, but I just looked at the play again on TiVo, and it looks like a clear fumble and recovered by Hobbs and run back. Did they rule the receiver down, or did they just say
it wasn't run back for a touchdown, by the way?
No.
Got tackled.
Yeah.
But the referee ruled that it was not a fumble. But it didn't matter. I mean, I know he's saying it didn't matter, but, you know, Hobbs picked it up and was tackled about 10 yards after he picked it up. But the referee called him down, which I don't agree with. I think it was a fumble.
Okay. Let's see. We got some more emails at webradio@patriots.com. On the phone right now, we got Craig in South Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
I think naturally they didn't show the game down here, but I did go ahead and DVR the highlights. And did you guys happen to catch Brady's reaction after throwing that last touchdown pass to Gabriel?
Yes.
Did he think he threw a pick?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a terrible, terrible throw, terrible play, terrible decision. He said it after the game that he got away with one. He was lucky, and, fortunately, he said that Gabriel came back and made a nice play on the ball and saved him of a sure interception because it was a terrible, terrible decision.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the post-game interview, but I just had to laugh when I saw his reaction. I'm like, oh, Tom, he got away with one there, buddy.
Yeah, he was running to his right, threw back to his left in a whole crowd of people, and generally those are the kind that that don't end well.
Yeah, there were four defenders right there, and almost like in a diamond pattern. I don't know how the first guy missed it.
I mean, if anything, though, it's good. You know, I think a couple games ago, Brady would have just thrown that one away. Now he's taking a little bit more chance, having a little bit more. Well, he probably should have, but, you know, maybe he has a little bit more trust in Gabriel than he did a few games ago. So, and that's good. He probably won't do it again if the same thing happens. But, hey, you know, the receiver kind of bailed out the quarterback, and that's a good sign. That's going to help Brady have more trust in Gabriel, you know, next time he has a decision to make.
Yeah. Well, I'm personally, you know, excited about what the team's doing right now. I think, you know, they are coming together. You know, earlier in the year, we're all kind of hoping that this would happen. And they're not as good as, you know, they could conceivably be. You know, the longer they work together, the better they're going to get. Regarding the game this weekend, hopefully Seymour will be back. I think, you know, trying to stop the run with Hutchinson up front, plus I think the guy to his right is also very good. Chester Taylor is.
You got Brian McKinney and Hutchinson are very strong left side of the line, and if Seymour can't play, that's a big factor.
That's going to be a big concern. For the other side of the ball, for whatever reason, Minnesota right now is currently ranked number one against the run. Of course, that's just yardage, and a lot of that, you know, you can spin any number, as you guys know. It could be who they played against and what offensive lines and what schemes the other team used against them that day and all that kind of stuff. I just know that Minnesota appears to be a team, you know, that's up and coming. They make some really stupid mistakes occasionally, but they do play better at home, and I think it's going to be, you know, a highlight game with being on Monday night, and hopefully it'll be a statement game for the Pats, and they'll come out with a win. I think the Pats are going to win by 10.
All right. Well, that's Craig in South Carolina's prediction for this week. So I hope he's right.
Getting it in early, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break,
guys.
Jason, and we'll be right back.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CMS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, what a goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Paul and I are bitching about youth sports in the break. It got me going.
I'm not quite as upset about it as Fred is.
Anyway, getting back to the emails here at PFW in progress, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, and then it's John Rook with Patriots Playbook. Mike from Columbus, Ohio, he says, I was looking ahead at the possibility of Patriot games moving to Sunday night with the flexible schedule. Do you know if there are restrictions on the number of times a team can appear in prime time?
Yes, there are.
I recall there used to be a limit to 3 Monday night games per year. Paul, you just did a little blurb about it.
I don't necessarily know if there's a black and white rule, but one of the things that I read was that they can't load up on teams like, in the way it was written, teams like the Patriots and the Colts and the Seahawks and whatnot, because they want to spread it out a little bit more. The Patriots will have one game moved, I would say, and that would be it. I mean, one game moved to primetime, to the late game on NBC. I think more than likely that'll be it. And I don't know. It looks like it's probably going to be Chicago.
Right.
You know, but there was that same story talked about the one game that in a pre, you know, like a kind of a preseason list that they had to put together was Miami. Because Philadelphia Indy was the game that list had listed for that week that the Patriots play Chicago. So it'll be interesting to see how Fox handles it. And, you know, because they can block games and whatnot, and they already had to submit a list. And I think one of those Patriots games will end up going to the late game. But really, the only one, in my opinion, that's worthy of primetime status is the Bears game.
Yeah, Mike says, I'm beginning to wonder if we'll be treated to the second or third best game of the weekend due to the network's ability to block one game each week. For example, I'd bet the Patriots-Bears game gets protected by Fox, and we end up with Eagles at Indy on Sunday night. Which of the remaining Pats games would you think would generate national interest? Well, Paul just mentioned it.
And I don't think the Bears game will be blocked.
Right.
Because I think that week, like as I said, NBC already has listed Philadelphia and Indianapolis as its game. And I think Fox will probably look at that and say, well, either way, we'll win.
Yeah.
You know, because Philadelphia at Indy is a Fox game. Chicago at New England is a Fox game. So Fox looks at is, I'm not going to waste a block because I'm going to get one of those games. And yeah. I think Fox will be just as happy with either one of those.
Yeah, it's a real strategy now that the networks have to look at with all these games. Eric, you know, somebody I think might have emailed. It would be kind of cool to put a camera on the league when they're kind of figuring out the schedule.
Yeah.
Goes into
you know
that.
What? I think that when the actual decision gets made, it would be kind of cool. But I think you'd end up with a lot of you know,
probably stuff you don't want out
right,
there.
A lot of nonsensical talking heads.
Eric says, I'm currently living in South Florida till I move back to Manchester in December. Please discuss how bad the Dolphins are. I enjoy it. Well, actually, I didn't see it. Somebody told me after the game they lost to the Packers. I guess Saban had kind of a meltdown.
I think Tom was talking about it upstairs.
Yeah.
He had like a 12-minute address.
Yeah, I actually went to their website this morning to see if I could find it. They had his Monday press conference where
maybe that was
he kind of – well, no, you kind of saw that he was addressing what was said last night. It was more like, look, all we can do is play better, blah, blah, blah. You know, just really almost apologetic in that we're trying our hardest. And the last thing we need is divisiveness. And if you guys could just understand that we're trying our best. It was almost like begging for mercy is what he was doing on Monday morning.
Tough situation.
Now, yeah, I don't know what.
That badly and you were expected to,
right.
to be. It's now, one thing if you're like Oakland or, you know, some of the other bad teams that no one expected anything out of. But
now, I don't know what happens to the day. I even went to YouTube and there was nothing. And there was nothing of. There was nothing on the Miami website of a post-game press conference. So either they took it down or, you know, they don't put them up to begin with. But I couldn't find it. But I guess he had a – it wasn't quite Denny Green, but it was close.
Well, I heard Tom this morning talking about – I think he mentioned it was like a – before any questions, like an opening address was like 12 minutes. It was just rambling on and on.
Well, that might have been the Monday morning one. Then.
Yeah, it could have been either one. It could have been post game too.
Yeah,
but I don't know exactly. I didn't see much yesterday. I was kind
of
I missed
a lot of it.
I missed a lot of the highlights yesterday.
Yeah. Speaking of Denny Green, now there's rumors that he could get poop canned.
Well, there's no question he's going at some point.
I was thinking now that Fossil's available, they'd bring him right in.
That's what you know. That was Tom's original conspiracy theory: is that Fossil resigned. When we originally they
right.
thought that he resigned, but then we found out that Billick actually fired him. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Andy Hart about steroids, of course. Right. This is a topic near and dear to him.
Well, and he's the authority.
Yes.
On that.
I would have no problem if they allowed steroids, but how many doctors are okay with them for athletic purposes? Not many. I mean, I could probably find a car mechanic who would tell me it's okay not to change my oil in my car, but that doesn't mean it's true, right, or even okay. Come on, he says. I guess he's addressing that to me. I said under medical supervision.
This is true because that was your big, that was your baby.
Let's see. Andy says again, too busy giving Tom credit for any good player who ever played college football? Oh, he's actually, why don't I ever read his email? I've read every email you've sent, you egotistical maniac.
They really are not.
No, they're not doing much
not,
up there.
Yeah, they're not shining themselves in a very positive light either.
No, I think our listeners are kind of seeing what I have to put up with on a day-to-day basis here. Evan,
ain't easy being Fred.
Evan in Melrose, did you see the highlight of Michael Vick catching a pass batted back to him and then throwing it again out of bounds? I'm not sure if it was the last game or the one before it. Isn't that illegal to pass it twice?
Yes.
The commentary didn't say anything about it, but I thought for sure that was a penalty.
It's not a penalty. Well, actually, it is. It's an illegal forward pass. It is a penalty. I correct myself there. Yeah. You can't do that.
No. It reminds me of when I'm playing youth basketball in eighth grade. I threw an inbounds pass. Guy tipped it. I'm still standing out of bounds. I caught it. Not good.
Glory day.
Yeah. Tom, these guys are just sending emails.
Are they doing anything
up there? I think we really hit a nerve with the steroids. Tom says the FDA has no control over dietary supplements. I'm in no way defending Merriman, but 60 Minutes did a report a couple years ago and tested supplements. Some did contain things it didn't mention on the label. That's why most NFL players use companies like EAS, who tests all its products before they put them out and stand by what's on the label.
That's what I'm talking about. Not necessarily knowing from reading a label, but getting it
from a known source.
Out.
Yeah. Someone with Merriman's bank account can afford to get his supplements directly from EAS, so even if he used a shady company that misrepresented what was in the bottle, he's still at fault. Anyone who uses supplements knows about the dangers of unknown companies because the industry isn't monitored, so his defense is weak either way.
Yeah, I agree with Tom, and that's exactly what we were talking about. You just have to find out what you're taking. You can't take that chance in something that's that important.
Jenkinson, okay, Chad Jackson, how far do you think he can get this year? And I think Bethal Johnson should have stayed or get signed when he was cut by the Saints. Do you?
I think Bethal Johnson's time here was done.
Yeah,
I think everybody knows how I feel about him.
And didn't the Pats have a chance to get LaDainian Tomlinson in the draft? LT? Is that who he means? I don't know.
We didn't have a chance to get him. He was the fifth pick of
LT.
The draft.
LT. I guess who that he means.
He was the fifth pick of the draft. He was not available.
Unless he's going way back to Lawrence Taylor. I don't know. By the way, tell Brady to stay around for about 9 more years because I'm like the future Randy Moss okay. All right, Jenkinson.
You okay there, Fred?
Yeah, I mean, I can't read your email, Jenkinson. You got to write it in English.
Talking about LaDainian Tomlinson, I'm pretty sure he was taken fifth overall, and we took Seymour sixth, right, in 2001?
I believe that's the year that I think things worked out a little better for the Patriots than they did for the Chargers.
In terms of that pick or in terms of winning? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, but did they...
Right? Would you have won more Super Bowls with LaDainian Tomlinson?
Maybe.
I don't know, but I'm happy with what they did.
I'm happy with what they did also, Fred. But
all right.
You just make these sweeping statements that aren't necessarily accurate.
I think things worked out pretty well for the Patriots compared to how things have gone over the past 5 years for the Chargers.
But it's just not an accurate
description. It is accurate.
Description
it's completely
of,
accurate.
But you're saying because of that pick.
It's 100.
You're saying San Diego.
Well, why are we worried about having not gotten LaDainian Tomlinson?
Well, that's a different argument.
But that's what he's saying. Shouldn't
they? Okay, well, you're talking about the email, but you made it sound like if San Diego had taken Seymour at five, they would have won three
Super Bowls. No, I'm just responding to the email. I'm not worried that the Patriots didn't pick LaDainian Tomlinson.
No, I'm not either.
Why should anyone?
I don't know. John Rook's been up in arms about it.
John, but John's here. How you doing, John?
What am I up in arms about?
You know.
The email.
If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
No,
an emailer suggested that the Patriots had a chance to get LaDainian Tomlinson in the draft, which I believe is incorrect. I think he was taken fifth overall in 2001, and the Patriots chose sixth.
I believe that is correct.
Took Richard Seymour.
LT was taken right before Seymour, yes. That sounds right. As my recollection is recalling.
So, anyway, I'm...
The boys squeaked by this week, no?
Yeah, it was a great game. Did you see any of it?
Well, I saw the highlights.
It was a maddening game because they had plenty of chances to put them
away
and they left 7 points on the field because of two missed field goals and a blocked extra point.
And then you got to say they were a little fortunate because that Nebraska guy actually had the first down there late in the game and fumbled
Well, he got fumbled because he got hit.
Well,
it was a helmet the ball hit.
I understand that, but
that's one of the things that Texas does very well is they're very physical.
Like
and
the
they
lucky
force
break.
A lot of turnovers.
In
got
crunch
a good break.
Time?
Yes, indeed. Hey, you make your own breaks, baby.
Hey, I'm just giddy. The Huskies got 8 votes for the top 25 in the 1AA poll this week.
You know what? That was a big win.
Coming up there, big win over UNH.
I know. It's
ballsy move, I will say. Ballsy move by going for 2 for the Northeastern Huskies.
It was. And I also think, and the rest of my family disagrees with me on this, they think it was a bad coaching move. I think it was really the only thing he could have done. This sounds stupid when you talk about NFL games. UNH had the ball for more than 100 plays on offense. They ran more than 100 total plays of offense. And
how do they not win that game?
Well, Northeastern, you know, had just as many yards almost, just in 60 plays.
60 plays.
They had, it was like 520 total yards to like 440 or something ridiculous. I mean, the offense was, which made it amazing that with 6 minutes left in the game, it was 14-14 with all that offense. And both teams scored twice in the last 6 minutes to make it 28-28 going into overtime. But I just don't think there was any chance that Northeastern was going to stop UNH in overtime. They were going to score as many times as they had to, and Northeastern probably would have gotten stopped at some point and wouldn't have matched them. So I think UNH scored first in overtime. Northeastern converts and gets in. Take a shot.
I personally like that philosophy.
Take a shot.
When you know that when you play a team, say, you know, 10 times and you might win one or two, I think you take a shot when you have the shot to win it.
And that was my argument that I made with my brother and father, who both thought it was, you know, kind of a needless chance. If the situation was reversed, I wouldn't have thought it was a good move by UNH. Mm-hmm. Because I have the better team.
Yes.
I feel like I have the better team with the better record and more to lose on one play.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Northeastern's 3-4. I mean, they're trying to salvage what's left of a season.
Right.
They don't really have postseason aspirations. Even if they went out 7-4, probably not going to be good enough for Northeastern to make the playoffs. UNH has title hopes.
Yeah, I mean, they've been number one. They've been ranked number one this season.
Yeah, down to 11 now.
Yeah.
So. And this 1AA moment has been brought to you by Cappuccello Insurance.
This Ted Sarandis round of applause goes out to the Northeastern Huskies for a fine weekend of sports.
All right, John, what's on your docket today?
Well, I think we'll obviously recap a little bit of Buffalo. I believe that there was a strong rumor that we might have a special guest from some of the movie taping.
Oh, wow.
That's going on out of the field. So
a cheerleader. Wait. Maybe you'll get a rock.
I wish, but I don't know who it's going to be. So
maybe you'll get a rock.
I don't want to say. I might jinx it.
All right.
So I don't know if I'll get a rock sighting or not.
Okay.
cool. So we'll do some of that as well. And, there's also been a little bit of a debate going on about the whole, you know, Bledsoe-Tony Romo thing from last night and on national radio programs.
What's the debate? That they both stink?
Well, the fact is that there are a lot of Cowboy fans that were applauding when Romo got, you know, put into the game at halftime last night. And obviously he threw 3 picks and really wasn't any great shakes himself. And so I think there's some thought that maybe Bill Parcells has lost a little off the fastball for making that kind of a
well,
move.
I don't know. Do you
Vision
think it was his
history?
Do you think it was his decision, or do you think Jerry Jones coming down there just before the halftime
Jerry Jones
might have had something to do with it?
Jerry Jones did say he was surprised as well, but I buy that about as far as I can throw it.
I'll
just say this, John, and I said this to Fred. I think that Parcells doing that decision the way he did cost his team any chance he had a victory last night.
I don't disagree with that.
I said it to Fred. It's not just a pro-Drew approach here. If he was going to do this, if Drew was one mistake away from losing his job, which ultimately he was because, you know.
He was yanked.
He was yanked after the huge interception. Start Romo in the game. If he had started Romo in the game, I don't think that he would have taken his chances away of winning. Stick with Drew for that game and
for
say,
game,
this is it. If he has another one of these games, that's it.
That's
I'm
right.
going to Romo next week.
I agree.
The halftime doing it in the middle of the game, I think he stripped his team of a chance to win.
I agree with that.
That's pretty good.
You know how I feel about Parcells, but I actually feel bad for him. I think he does.
Feel bad for Parcells?
I do. I feel bad for Parcells because of T.O. and because of Jerry Jones.
Because you feel like they both forced themselves on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I think that's possible, but I think Bill
Parcells signed up.
I think he also knew what he was getting into when he signed up with the Cowboys. Can you not?
I know.
I saw Romo throw the pick on his first play. Then I watched the next drive and saw T.O. drop a pass on fourth down. I shut it off and I went to sleep with a smile on my face, John. Because all of a sudden it's not so easy, is it?
No, it's not.
You know, and again, that nuclear power defense gives up a touchdown on the very first drive of the game.
Paul and I, Andy and Tom, have to go and shoot our show. I was going to say movie. which you can watch tonight at 11 if you're in the New England area, New England Cable News, and see how much of we can idiots we can make of ourselves. All right, that's it. All right.